White Sox.
The show your mother warned you about, and that your dad is hiding in the basement listening to. Get ready for the Boys in the Woods podcast.
Yeah, a little fun fact to start the day, Charles. A little fun fact to start the day.
Yeah. Sorry, I was reading.
Were you singing a song?
No.
Were you singing a song? You were singing a song earlier. You were singing a song. You're talking about rolling in the deep. We're going to be rolling in the deep sports talk.
Yeah. It's just, oh my God. We'll get to you later. Hey, a quick question to start the day off. Thank you to all of our listeners, our subscribers, our clicks, our likes. Don't forget, there is a t-shirt contest going on right now. I want the t-shirt. I want the shirt. You have to be a subscriber, a liker, a listener, a sharer. We appreciate you and everything you do. Quick question of the day, though. Has Gardner Minshew become the next Ryan Fitzpatrick? And who was Ryan Fitzpatrick before Ryan Fitzpatrick?
So, honestly, I believe so. Yeah. I believe he's on his way there. He needs about, what, 6-7 more teams, and he'll be well on his way.
Well,
but what he brings to the table, definitely. His skill set.
Yeah.
Because what do you remember about Fitzpatrick? I posted the two stats that everybody probably remembers him from. He had one of the greatest NFL games ever, and then he had probably the worst NFL game ever.
Yeah, what is he? What, the only,
only quarterback to throw six touchdowns.
Six touchdowns and then throw for six interceptions?
Yeah, but both of them had the reverse role. No touchdowns with the six interceptions and six touchdowns. So he had a perfect quarterback rating with the six touchdowns.
So was Rex Ryan his coach when he threw the six interceptions?
Was Ryan there in 2014?
Because I'm guessing it was with the Jets, right?
When he had his worst, yes. It was the worst was with the Jets. The best was with the Texans, I think.
Okay.
So you think old Rexy was there? Was he sucking on toes? Is that maybe why he couldn't quite coach him up? Who's his offensive coordinator, better yet? Who's Ryan's offensive? Was Ryan, that's old what, Ryan that's was what the saying. Offensive
I'm looking
coordinator.
It up right now.
Oh, boy, this is going to be interesting.
Ryan Fitzpatrick threw six interceptions and
No tutties.
When was this game? I was trying to look up the coaching staff, but six interception. When was this game? Let's go to the Bing AI.
It's Bing, tell me something good.
It's trying to respond, which we'll also be binging ourselves today. This will be exciting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We forgot to do the live Bing. Are we still going to be an eclectic podcast? That's the fun part.
Yes. Yeah, I know. I'm looking for the eclectic. Come on here. What's going on? Let's go. Ryan Fitzpatrick, September 25th, 2016. Okay. 2016 Jets coaching staff. Robert Saleh.
Yeah.
No, get out of here.
It was Todd Bowles was the coach.
Yeah, coaching staff, special teams. I guess we'll have to go to Wikipedia. I was like, Robert Saleh, and then I saw Nathaniel Hackett. Shut the fuck up. Okay.
Special teams coordinator, Bobby April, Ron Heller, Brant Boyer, Dave Diaz Infante, John Scott Jr. It looks like it was Todd Bowles. It was the second year for Bowles. I went 10-6 and then went 5-11 in 2015.
So the reason for that too is I'm trying to that just seems like a Rex Ryan thing to do.
It does seem like a Rex Ryan
six
thing.
When do you pull the guy, right? Like me personally, I pull him after four. There's no way you get to 5 or 6. I don't care who's sitting on the bench. A running back is going to throw less.
Right? Maybe he threw, because you think after three, you'd be like, just don't throw the ball, dude. Just hand it off. What's the worst that can happen? We lose by 40. Let's just not throw more picks.
Bro.
I think part of the problem was they might have been in that game.
That's what I'm just looking up. September 25th, 2016, Jets game score. Chiefs 24-3. They weren't even fucking close, dude. What are you doing?
I think the last one was a pick six. They were within like 10 points. Maybe they're still trying to win. I don't know. Honestly, like
again,
you said,
though, dude, that's what point, I'm saying. Like, even if you're trying to win, at what point do you realize the guy who's thrown three or more interceptions isn't him? And so then you ask,
you can't do worse.
There is no question, though, right? Okay, right. I understand why he's not a head coach anymore. Pause. He is a head coach now today. This is going to be funny to look at in the future, man, because he's got Baker Mayfield's going to have a 3-4 interception game. Does he start having flashbacks to Fitzy and pull him early? I don't know. It leaves a hell of a lot of questions in my mouth.
Okay, Charles, so check this out. He was benched after the game. He wasn't benched during the game. Okay, so he was 5 of 12, 81 passing yards. He was 5 of 12, okay? A 24.6 quarterback rating. So if he was 5 of 12, 6 of those incompletions were fucking interceptions, dude. So technically, he went 11 for 12. He just went the other way with it. So he wasn't as terrible as we thought.
I only missed one throw.
Fuck my guy for being out of position, right?
Yeah. Can't help the six went to the wrong guy. I only missed one throw.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Fucking Fitzpatrick. Alrighty. We've got more football coming up with the boys tonight, so I'm not forgetting anything on that football side, am I?
No, I don't really think anything too crazy happened. There was some rumors that I believe it was A.J. Brown was being contacted by the New England Patriots, and that was shut down. It was all speculation and rumors. The Minnesota Vikings vegan thing was shut down as alleged. Someone spammed their Twitter account, which is actually more hilarious than it even being true that somebody spammed their Twitter account. It actually got millions of people to believe they were putting vegan food in their stadium, which is hilarious to me. So someone trolled the shit out of the Vikings and said, hey, they're going vegan. And it blew up all over the internet. Which is
a Packer
even
fan? It sounds like
the best Packer fan ever.
It sounds like a Packer fan thing. The Bears are still trying to figure out who they are, and the Lions don't know how to win. So they ain't focused on anything else other than winning. So,
oh, yeah. And you got the Bears that are focused on just beating the Packers. Fuck the playoffs. Just beat the Packers.
It's like 10 years. We're going on the 11th season. We're going to find out early, too, in this season, I think, within the first couple of weeks.
Oh, no. The NFL thing, I think you wanted to bring up. We can bring it up a little bit more with Paul and Mike. But, yeah, I think all of us are pretty irritated with the NFL scheduling the game in Brazil and what's going on with Brazil the and the whole color thing, the scheme.
Yeah. We'll bring this up a little more quick topic. I understand. I get it. It's something that we've talked about often on the show. The NFL globally is sub 200 million. You've got the UFC at 500 million and an 800 million globally watched fighting world. You have to do these kinds of things, but you do have to question, like, who the hell's doing it? Right, like you can't be that bad at your job. You can't be that bad at your. Okay, so I understand you looked at it, and out of the NFL fan base, in the complete percentage, not 12% of, but like when it's like working with military disabled, right? You have a piece of paper that's 100%. Now you take 12.7% of that piece of paper away, and that's your Packer fans, right? So then you take 10% more, and that's your Dallas Cowboys fans, and you take 11% more, but there's 32 teams in the NFL. So you're starting to break down. The Packers have the highest percentage of fans in Brazil. So I understand why you sent Green Bay. And we could do our alternate away or home jerseys, right? The 1909 Acme Packer jerseys or
that. With those chocolate
pants. Yeah. But what the hell are you doing with the Eagles? Everything about them is green. They're fucking home. They're away. They're helmets. Like, you can't get away from it. And even with the Green Bay Packers, even with that brown, you still have the Brazil yellow on the jersey. It's gold. It's just there. So you look at all of the other teams in the NFL that don't have green or yellow in their colors, and why didn't you pick one?
Not only that, Pat McAfee brought this up too. This is another aspect of that. They're going there to market themselves and to try to sell merchandise, right? You 100. Can't even bring that to the fucking stadium. They can't sell it. It's not even allowed in there. So now you've completely, all it is just publicity on TV. And if those fans can't wear the colors,
even our white jerseys, bro, have the green have the crimson green. Letters.
So what are you going to do? You're going to electrical tape or duct tape them?
And
no,
the, that's and, not gonna and the wording on them is going to be completely...
the wording's in green and yellow.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. So I just... Yeah, it seems like they looked at Mark Sanchez's butt fumble and went, we can do way better. And they did. In fact, they stuck their whole face in the butt crack, took a massive sniff, went, I'll have another after you poop. Don't wipe, please. And there's your NFL schedule building. I don't know how else to put that. I mean, it's just terrible. So
clearly nobody thought about this.
No, they looked at all they did was look at the numbers. Yo, this guy's got Boston's up right now 17-5 on Miami.
Good Lord.
Well, halfway through the first quarter.
That's a soccer stadium, correct? So it's got to be 100,000. It's Brazil. It's probably a huge stadium.
Ish. They're not that big.
They're not as big as like the World Cup stadiums.
Because Michigan Stadium is one of the three largest stadiums in the world. And Happy Valley is just south of that. So Happy Valley is in like the top five.
And I think Tennessee
most soccer stadiums. I'm because there's so many. If you Google or Bing like the average size of soccer stadiums, you're going to get 30,000 to 60,000. But most of those bigger stadiums, you're rocking. You look at the ones in Europe and Germany and shit we play in. I think that's 14,000 to 35,000. Brazil, you get a little bit more in soccer. That's their life. So I'm willing to bet probably around 60,000, plus or minus 15 left or right.
So you're just like, oh, so anyway, they're probably, this is a marketing thing to get more viewership, more eyes on the game than it is money, probably.
100%. This isn't about the Green Bay Packers. This is about the NFL.
No, it's about growing the NFL brand worldwide.
Yes. So they looked at the numbers and went, we need to bring this in. And it does help that they are two of the most electric teams. They're the ones everyone talks about most often. Yeah. And the Green Bay Packers have a massive world following. We really do. So it makes sense to send the Green Bay Packers. It just doesn't make sense to send the Green Bay Packers to fucking Brazil. And not because we don't belong there, but our color schemes shouldn't have allowed us to go there, period. That sucks. But you should have worked something out beforehand. You didn't just send one, you sent two. Like, you didn't just send one, you sent both.
Oh, no, they didn't.
Both.
They act like they've never seen the jerseys before. Yeah, they're one of these teams. The only thing that I can think of is that maybe Brazil didn't communicate this ban before but they had two of them.
You're talking about a billion-dollar company in the NFL. Even if you don't tell me, I should have known. Period. This is something like I should be asking you when I'm coming to the table, right? You shouldn't have had to tell me.
You've got interns at the NFL that should have looked into this stuff.
Hey, we would like to bring the Green Bay Packers and the Eagles to Brazil, but turns out we have this color issue with the jerseys. Is that going to be a problem? If so, we're not going to send the Green Bay Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles. We're going to send the Carolina Panthers and the San Diego Chargers.
Sure.
Yeah. Actually, the Chargers have yellow on them. I'm sorry. The Carolina Panthers and the Jacksonville Lions. Jaguars. There you go.
Detroit Lions, the same fucking colors, right?
I was just trying to figure the bottom of the barrel. A couple of years ago, we could have said the Lions, but yeah.
The Jaguars got the freaking green, too.
Yeah, I know.
The Arizona Cardinals, they're red, right?
Yeah.
Red and white.
Yeah, there you go. Carolina Panthers, NFC. It's fucking Arizona's in the NFC too, aren't they?
Or fuck it, San Francisco and fucking somebody. Who knows? Brown team.
This wasn't as hard as we're making it. It's not as hard as we're making it.
The Cleveland Browns.
The Browns. Yeah, see, there you go. They're fucking Brown, right? Yeah, so we'll send Cleveland and Carolina. There you go.
Just fixed it for you.
We fixed it for you. There you go.
Green Bay, get back on the airplane. You're going home. Same thing with Philly.
Well,
yeah, anyway, that was an interesting take. I think I'm gonna like to hear Paul and Mike's aspects of the game. I believe that they're gonna have some good takes on that as well.
Yeah, Paul's a Bears fan, so anything that takes the Packers out of the country, he's all for.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't want to see.
He was just offering up the chair next to him on the couch for the old Packers swap that the Packers went and picked up an old Eagles offensive lineman, and now our entire draft. It has completely changed on its head. As far as I'm concerned, now I don't know what they do with that first round pick.
Yeah, I'm still sitting on a cornerback. I think if Cooper DeJean or... I hope we don't take Alabama's Kool-Aid. I really don't. I'm just... I'm sure he's a great kid. I'm sure he does. I'm sure he's going to be fine in the NFL. I'm just sick of the Green Bay Packers taking Alabama players. So I don't want that. I don't want to see
Alabama
that.
We'll talk Georgia. About that the last 2 years, it's last 5 years, Alabama and Georgia has been really hot for Michigan.
Yeah. If we could, Quay Walker is a good player, but he would be a great player at about 40 to 55% of the snaps. Right.
If he can get his head around the game.
Yeah, right. He'll be great. We're looking for a 60 to 70 snap kind of guy, and it's hurting us. We'll see. Massive improvements from year one to year two. We'll talk about this tonight, too. Massive improvements. Yeah, I think for one, he wasn't getting kicked out for knocking around people all over the field. I really only think the DeMar Hamlin situation made that as big as it was, to be honest with you. It was like you're in the middle of a heated fucking game and you're trying to check on the dude you just hurt, and you feel somebody come up and push you off to the side. You're going to push that dude back.
Yeah,
come on.
For sure.
But anyways, year two, great improvements. What's up?
I was just looking at this thing, this Major League Baseball thing, and I was like, man, talk about how wrong I was in that 9 minutes. By the way, that should be a shirt, 9 minutes and 22 seconds of nonsense, and it should just have you yelling at me and going with your hands up as a Funko. What the fuck?
What the fuck?
And you got to have... but anyway, we'll break this down. I want you to break it down because it seems like apparently I was in fucking La La Land when we were discussing this. Jackson Holliday has not gotten any fucking better since you fucking brought this up. Not one iota. And matter of fact, I think he might have even gotten worse as far as his batting average goes. The fact he's only drawn one walk this entire season is absolutely asinine to me.
Well, he's not drawing walks. He's
striking out at a crazy rate.
Terribly. Shout out to the Cheerios brothers, by the way. Hold on.
If I get a moment to talk about him,
I'm going
to
talk about him real quick. Him and his brother hit a home run on the same fucking day. His brother hit one for Cleveland, and Jackson hit one yesterday. That was yesterday, so congratulations to the Cheerios brothers. Love watching you. Fantastic. We definitely hit the lotto with that Jackson, with our Jackson.
That's going to be crazy. I think they're going to Cleveland because every team's got to play every team this year. Mm-hmm. It's whether or not it's home or away series.
Yeah.
That'd be cool if the two brothers get to play against each other.
It's great blood, great baseball blood. We're going to be talking about them for a really long time. Now, on the other side of this, on the other Jackson side of this, and I'm not happy that I have to talk about this, like we treat the girls' basketball, which we'll be talking about that soon, we treat them the same way we treat the men. So if you're out there talking your ass, we're gonna tell you you smell like ass. Yeah, and in this situation, I'm sitting here trying to figure out where the MLB decided this dude was the number one prospect. I don't get it.
Hype. Did his father play a huge part in this? The fact that he's Matt Holliday's kid?
Dubitably.
But he did have crazy stats in high school. But it's high school, right? I've got to see that transition into college ball.
College ball
to the minors.
I was thinking that this was the next Mike Trout. I didn't watch nothing. Listening to people who told me Bobby Witt Jr. was going to be good, and I was yelling at them, so I can't yell back.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Does that now affect his brother's draft stock?
Ooh,
absolutely.
No, I don't think so.
Going to be better than
actually? Yes, I agree with you, but I don't think I'm agreeing with you in how you're saying it. I think it's going to raise the draft stock in my mind. Right. You don't end up in a Cheerios family often. Right. Like even the Watt brothers. Let's quickly off the top of your head. What's another Watt brother? Right. So in these scenarios,
made it to the NFL. So I guess we can't really. I guess you can't really complain about that one.
But even two, who is better, Peyton or Eli?
Peyton was a better quarterback. Eli was a winner. Eli won two Super Bowls. Peyton won two Super Bowls.
Peyton won two Super Bowls also. Yeah. And Peyton won the Super Bowl. Peyton won one Super Bowl, but the defense won the other one. I think
arguably Eli beat the best team, probably the best team ever. that Patriots team that was 16 and 0 in the regular
season. But the one thing I remember specifically from that, and I hate it because I'm not a Patriots fan at all, I guess I am a Tom Brady fan, but not a Patriots fan, is that Wes Welker and Rob Gronkowski dropped multiple passes on that final drive, and then they were wide open.
Like, yeah, but they were Patriots. A wild card.
Yeah, Patriots.
They won the Super Bowl as a wild card.
To continue the point of the story, though, is you don't always end up with two badass fucking brothers. You don't. One is better than the other one.
Sure.
So my point with this is that if this Holiday brother is acting a fool, the other one is probably fool's gold, right? Like, I would look at it like, yo, I think we're winning this one. Even the McCaffrey brothers,
right?
We're in the
pot big time with this one. Because I don't know if we're going to get to see this guy. I don't know if he's going to college, but he's probably going to follow his brother and go straight to the baseball.
I wouldn't.
Have a contract already. I'd play college ball.
There's a lot of it going on. When one tanks, the other one tends to do really well.
I just don't know how you miss.
Look at the McCaffrey. McCaffrey family. You've got Ed. You've got CMC. And now you got Luke.
Yeah.
Well, and we all think Luke's going to be a good football player, but he's not going to be a Christian McCaffrey football player. So, like, I feel like that's the situation we're running into with this Holiday. I think the hype behind his dad was terrible. And something a lot of us forget, right? And this was brought to my attention the other day. The worst NBA basketball player currently on roster, the absolute worst NBA basketball player, would beat every Joe in a 1v1 pickup game 100 out of 100 times. The worst NBA pro is closer to LeBron than the average guy on the street is closer to the worst NBA player. And that's so
you,
and,
but by average Joe, you mean a guy who didn't play college ball? Or
even if he played college ball, but he's not averaging 20, 30 points a night in college, right? Like,
yeah.
You're closer to 15 than you are 20. You're closer to 3 on all the stats than you are anything else.
I would say he might beat him 1 versus 1, like 48 out of 50 times.
You're still losing that scenario.
Oh, no, I know you're still losing. I'm just saying it's
if you want to give them, absolutely, I will not disagree with you. But
same thing with all professionals.
But that person portal. Again, though, like if that person was good enough to beat the worst NBA player, he would have been on an NBA team, in my opinion.
Well, right, you don't make an NBA team without being.
So in this example, that person doesn't exist because he would have been just as bad playing in the pros. So yes, absolutely.
We got to see a lot of this with the street ballers who tried to make the pros. Remember when they had the tryouts?
Yeah.
I can't remember what shitty team it was, but I had a bunch of guys try out from like the street ball league and they couldn't hack it. They got their asses beat.
So my point with that, with bringing that up to paint a picture, is this Jackson Holiday situation. He was probably going to destroy high school kids because he's not going to be the worst player on a pro team, but he sure as fuck isn't a number one prospect, right? But because of the last name, because of the dad, and because you're watching this last name recreate what his dad did in high school, because it's high school, right? You're playing against people like me and you who, yeah, we've got golden moments and whatnot.
You have your moment, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? So you're going to fuck those people up. You need to get into that AAA, AA, single A system. You need to be in the MLB farm system. I cannot name 10 people who have went from high school to Hall of Fame career, right? There's no way. All of us in Milwaukee were pissed that it took so long to see Cheerio come up to the plate. It took so long to see Cheerio come up to the plate that Milwaukee felt bad because they knew what they were doing, but we're going to pay you because it was worth it. And we paid you before you even got to the plate. And it's making its way. It's making us look great.
Can I tell you something else about Jackson Holiday?
Of course.
Okay, he's got one walk, right?
Yes, sir.
And he's got one hit.
Yes, sir.
But he only has one total base.
Yeah.
How does that work? Did he get thrown out? Get picked off? A walk doesn't count as a base. Because if you get a hit, you're on base. You get a walk, you're on base. So
I don't think walks count.
Oh, you know what though? If he grounded in, he did a if he hit a ground rule, whatever,
a fielder's choice. Rule, a
fielder's choice. It doesn't count as a.
It doesn't
as a base or whatever because he's just taking the. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I forgot about baseball scoring for a minute here. Thank you for clearing that up for me.
It gets confusing.
It does get confusing to score baseball sometimes, especially when
love that you could go into the pro shop and buy a scorecard. Or get a free scorecard.
Yeah. I want one autographed one of these days, but like one of these catchers. I think it'd be fun.
Next year's Bergstrom game. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
There you go.
I'm so excited. Many doors open in that scenario. Shout out. At this point, what are they waiting for? What's Baltimore waiting for? You have to DFA. It's not a trial by fire.
Well, I think I brought the stats up to you. Come on, Charles. He's 1-for-27 with 15 strikeouts, one walk, one hit, one RBI, and a fly ball, a batting average of 0.037, an on-base percentage of 0.071, slugging percentage of 0.037. I don't think I need to go on. How is his wins against replacement only negative 0.5?
Well, that answers a lot. Baltimore is not deep in that position. What does he play?
Yeah, I guess that's probably one of the reasons why he's still up, too.
Yeah, and he has had less than 35 plate appearances so far. So we'll cut the cake a little slack. It looked like a raw meat cake, but... maybe it was just extra rare.
But at 30 games, if you're a team that was, they're supposed to contend for that division.
At 30 games, yeah, they've played 20 so far. So yeah, you're,
you but, give and them 30 games, then you send them down to the minors and say, hey, kid, go get some reps.
I don't disagree with you. And at this point, now I'm playing devil's advocate. So
Will they? No, absolutely not.
Looking at the division, where they are, the AL East appears to be the most competitive division right now. The AL West could be argued maybe, but the AL East, you've got everyone with at least 12 wins. At least 12 wins, right? The bottom, Tampa Bay, 12 wins. New York Yankees, 14-7. You've got the Baltimore Orioles right there in second place at 13-7. You got Toronto at 12-9, Boston and Tampa Bay both at 12.
Yeah, they're half game back of first place. Yeah. But everybody else is only two games back of the Yankees. So it's
they're a half game back from the Yankees, but they're a game and a half in wild card position or some shit like that. That's way too early to be getting too deep into that.
Looking at
this right now, they played 20 games. I'm thinking he's played less than that. He's played, 15 or 16 games? Yeah,
if you want to talk about plate appearances, usually average about 3 to 3.25 appearances a game. So he's played only about 8-9 games total.
Yeah. I'm thinking we're going to see this dude until July. If it stays this bad, he'll be gone early June.
I think what bothers people, Charles, is that a lot of the rookies this year are having a lot of success. So people are like, why is he struggling?
Ellie De La Cruz, right? Which shout out to him for learning English. That was a wonderful story.
He came out last year at the end of the year, right?
So he came onto the scene.
He was fucking.
If you got his card, it would have been a 96, 98, right? Like you were talking MLB The Show to start the season. But he tapered off drastically, unless he was playing the Brewers, because he did for some reason he loves beating up on the fucking Brewers. I've watched that dude steal home, and I'd never seen that before in my life.
I haven't seen a guy steal home a long time.
And now this year, he had an inside the park home run. Basically, Flash Gordon cycle. This fucking dude did. So it's been fun to watch. But anywho, Ellie came on, smashed it. But then the MLB kind of figured him out. And he didn't have enough time towards that season to pick up after the drought. I'm so happy to see him doing well now. Sucks he plays for Cincinnati, whatever.
Dude, he's freaking batting .290 with fucking 6 home runs and 15 RBIs, 44 total bases, 11 walks. He strikes out a lot, but he's also got 10 friggin' steals.
Pittsburgh, dude, got a rookie right now, dude, a rookie shortstop. Bro, this dude, 6'7", looks like a fucking tight end.
Yeah.
Just smash the ball, dude. Smash it.
He's got great hand-eye coordination. 110 mile an hour.
Yeah, he's got great hand-eye coordination. And that's the thing. You talk about the NL Central, if it wasn't for the St. Louis Cardinals being just trash, not White Sox trash, but St. Louis Cardinal trash. We're all rocking 11-plus wins, too. You got Milwaukee at 13-6. They're on a three-game win streak again. It's like, I was laughing. I don't want to talk about it too much because after the last podcast, we got smacked around a little bit. Bats fell off, and I'm like, fuck, man, what the hell's going on?
Well,
I mean, that Padres series was tough, but seeing them battle that one run win out, that was nice. You got to ask San Diego why the hell they took King off the mound. Didn't understand that, but thank you because that led us to a win. So you've got the Colorado Rockies at 4-16. You got the Miami Marlins at 5-17. We already told you about the St. Louis turd Cardinals. Interesting fact, though, Houston is doing worse than fake Oakland. Not sure if that's going to stay, right? And I'm not talking about the nickname. That nickname can stay all at once, but I'm talking about the Houston Astros. Do they remain at the bottom of the list in the AL West?
For now.
Verlander's back.
Alvarez, all these guys. Lost. Once their bats come back, I don't know. They're really struggling all over the field. Not just bats, but their pitching has been weak.
You're looking at the Braves, right? They've got 121-84 against.
The Braves aren't going any. You know.
Yeah, you got the Brewers 112-4-79 against. We're rocking a +33. Braves +37.
That's probably the most impressive stat for Milwaukee.
Yeah, and I'm loving seeing that. But then you've got the AL West. You've got the Rangers 108-4-100 against +8, but the rest of that division is negative. And you go down to Oakland. I don't know. I mean, everything about the stats says Oakland is the worst team except the win loss. But Oakland's at a -33, 61-4-94 against, not even trying. But then you look at Houston, well, they're scoring, but they're just giving shit up. You got 96-4, 118 against, a -22 spread.
Not only that.
Pitching is what's effing them right now, and how is that even possible?
Look at their stats. You go, you've got Jose Altuve is batting .367, Jeremy Peña .356, Yordan Alvarez .291. They're hitting the baseball.
And they're scoring. They're not driving. 96 runs. That's, you're at the bottom of the pack in the division leaderships, but even the Dodgers are giving up runs, right?
But
Dodgers
are at
a +5, but they're scoring.
They're one of the worst teams in baseball, like striking out. I believe Cleveland's, they're like 5th. Yeah.
Cleveland's doing really well. I may have said way too much against Cleveland a week ago, but this is the best thing about our baseball weekly recaps, right? Yeah. Baseball, there's so much baseball in between Sunday to Sunday, Monday to Monday, Tuesday to Tuesday.
I'm starting to lean more that the Tigers might be a .500 baseball team this year. They seem to win a couple, lose a couple. I think that's what they are.
They've got few pieces to close in their bullpen. They need a few pieces in there.
But I mean, I think that's the team they are.
They need to get rid of Javier Baez. I don't give a fuck about that defense. Get rid of Javier Baez. I can't stand it.
That's the only reason he has a job in Major League Baseball is because he's a great defensive player.
He's a great defender. But he's not Chicago Cubs great, right? He's getting sick of hearing the fans boo, and I'm laughing because it's like, bro, we're getting sick of watching you play. What the fuck? What are you even talking about? Oh, I can hear the boos. That's your first home run since 2015. Tongue in cheek on the year, but closer to that than it is to us.
Let's just say he is 2 strikeouts ahead of Jackson Holliday.
Yeah.
Granted, he's had 40 more plate appearances, but still.
Yeah, you're doing real good.
We'll bring that staff.
But that's the thing with the Tigers. Talk to us in July. We tell you that. The Tigers are, we're just getting rid of Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer, and Miguel Cabrera money, right? Like, we're going to need 3-4 more years of this buildup. You'll see here in July. Because I believe Rodrigo there, he's still hurt. They're still banking on a little bit of injuries, but it's exciting. They're playing good ball and they're on the right track. We started to see it a little bit with Milwaukee last year, where you would score in the first 3 or 4 innings and then couldn't score again. Last year we had a little bit more games of us scoring when we needed to win, but it's ultimately what hurt us this year. It doesn't matter where you get your runs. It seems, for the most part, we're going to get ours back. And you're getting a little bit of that wave action with the Tigers, so that's exciting to see. But
it's nice to have an ace for once. You've got Skubal, who's a young, great pitcher. You've got Matt Manning. He's good. And then he's a veteran. You get what you get with him. He could be electric.
Like I
one
said,
night
once Rodrigo gets back into that lineup, Broski, the Tigers are going to be nice, but it's the bullpen that's hurting them. And it's the sixth, seventh inning, eight-ish guys that they really need to close down.
What the Brewers' strength is, their seventh, eighth, and ninth. Their middle bullpen is not that great.
No, we need to figure out our fourth, fifth, and sixth situation. We do.
Yeah.
I mean, because in a perfect world, you're hoping the starter gets you 1-6, right? But right now, starters are looking like 4.5 to 5.
Yeah,
so you need
a
to
good
get that
4 to 5, but they're throwing a lot of pitches to get
the
there.
The middle relievers right now were young, and they're still learning what pitches to and what not to, where to and how to. And I like what Murphy's doing. There are a couple of things where at times,
play, for sure.
Yeah. A couple of times I'm like, you don't even have anybody up in the bullpen, but I get it too. As an athlete, if you've given me the nod to go out there, but as I'm walking out there, I see the bullpen getting ready. Why are you even sending me out there? Why didn't you get the bullpen ready right there? And you don't want those conversations to run into your mind. You want the, hey, show me you can. And if you can't, I trust my bullpen to get ready in time to come out and beat your ass.
I think he's given a lot of faith to the players too, that they're going to tell him when they're not feeling it or when they're ready. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm loving watching it. It's been fun to see. So Houston's going to get it figured out though, right? The whole division is 500 or worse. Right. Yeah, you got the Rangers at 11-11, Seattle at
10-10. With 162 games, as well as I do, a team can win 13, 14 out of 20, and another team could go the other way. So,
with my birthday coming up here in, 20-some days, do the Houston Astros figure it out before May 15th?
You want to play this game? You want to play the... All right, we can play this game.
Because my birthday's on the 13th. So that's
Let's predict their record-ish. You think they will be above or below 500? You want to just play that game?
Yeah. Do they make it to 500 by May 15th?
By May 15th. So that gives them 3 weeks, basically?
Yeah. And they're
3.5 weeks.
They're eight back. They're eight back of 500.
I guess I want to look at their schedule, and I could probably tell you. That's probably not fair, though. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no. Eight games is a lot to make up in 20 days.
So if we don't make it to 500 by May 15th, we're talking just south of 30 days.
Yeah. I think they're going to be close, though.
We're closer to July at that point and the halfway mark than we are really anything else than the beginning. I don't think Houston makes it out if they're not close to or have approached 500 by the middle of May.
Because Texas is in that division, correct?
Yeah, and again, you've got the Texas Rangers, the Seattle Mariners, the Los Angeles Angels, and the Oakland Athletics. You don't got to worry about Oakland. You don't got to worry about the Angels. They'll be hurt eventually.
No, but Texas and Seattle are dogs. They're gonna be there. Seattle's a scrappy team. Always has been a scrappy baseball team.
They're wild card almost every year or division because of the way the AL West works itself to death. It's not like that division beats up on each other. In fact, one or two teams beats the hell out of the whole division, and then they go out of division and get their ass kicked. So,
I'm going to say they're still going to be under 500 by your birthday. And if they are, and if they're not at least on a win streak coming into the All-Star break, then they're in deep trouble. They're probably not going to make it.
If they're not at 500, By May 15th.
I think they're
May
deep 15th.
They need to be on a 7-12 game win streak going into July. Going into the All-Star break. Absolutely. Yeah. Houston's looking like they're in trouble, which is wild to think. But they've got a new head coach. They've got a lot to figure out. So this might not be a Houston year.
This happens a lot in baseball, that a team wins a World Series, and then the next year they completely just shit the bed.
Yeah, the Rangers ended up stopping them from getting there last year, but
because you remember the Braves? The Braves won it, and then they basically took a... I don't know if it was injuries or what happened with them, but
they ended up running into Philadelphia, who decided they wanted it more. Yeah,
they
did
make the playoffs. This isn't... If this is a Houston situation where they don't make the playoffs, then we can really bash on them and talk about this.
There'll be a lot of questions. You're going to see a mass exodus of team because making it to the playoffs allows them to continue those contracts.
Sure. But
when you start not making it to the playoffs, you end up in situations that nobody wants to talk about. New jerseys, players in new areas.
Great segue, Charles. Great segue out of baseball. Situations that nobody wants to talk about.
Yeah. Let's do it.
If you have not seen our logo on the back of this episode, you'll know lots of situations that happened in Wisconsin last week that nobody wants to talk about. So apparently, allegedly, there was a situation that happened in Appleton, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And it was all over Reddit. And the headline was, this was the only headline that a lot of people got to see, is Washington Outagamie Street's Appleton officer asked for rescue for a trauma incident. Man had cut off his penis, put it in his pocket. Suspect is full of blood. What the F and F?
Confused and in shock. Yeah, I just... And then I
guess I get somebody to cut it off, but why you put it in your pocket, Charles? Why you cut it off, put it in your pocket? This man is not okay. He's mucho loco. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This isn't he went out to the garden, cut himself off a carrot, and put it in his pocket. This man cut off his dick and put it in his pocket.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. It's fucking weird.
Maybe back pain got the better of him?
Back pain? He was going through it, and he said, you know what? Maybe it's my big dick that's causing my back pain, so I'm going to cut it off and put it in my pocket.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I just can't. I can't right now. This is
Then it gets worse. Apparently that this, like, people cut their dick off all the time.
Apparently. Not only that, I told you about this, the BBC article.
Yeah.
Two men have been admitted removing body parts, including the penis of a man accused of being the ringleader of a group carrying out the broadcasting castrations. Damian Burns, 35, removing a man's penis and genitals. Ooh, it even gets worse. And him, and they're in London. Okay, so they're admitted to doing this. So they had a castration mutilation ring. And this is from last year. So almost a year to the date, these men were convicted of basically cutting off people's junk and selling it on the black market, selling it to whoever for whatever reason, religious.
What do you think cock no ball goes for?
I don't know. What do you think?
12, 15K?
Like you were talking about earlier, like there's got to be a dude out there that needs. What if you only need junk, one ball? Right?
What if you only need? Yeah, hashtag black.
What if you kind of got? You lost one in a motorcycle accident or a motorbike accident. You got caught in the old chain.
A cyclist with no balls.
So you need two balls, right? You want to put the old balls back in the sack just to feel like a man again? I guess you'd pay whatever, right? To feel like.
At what point did you waste all other resources and went, I've got to go to the black market to find a nut sack.
I got to go on. I got to go on discountnuts.com.
I mean,
try to find myself some balls.
If you ain't got it, then you pull your pants down and you've been laughed at a bunch. I guess you then go off to the market of fuckness and
died. Someone pantsed him when he was younger and he had no nuts and. Now he's still feeling the wrath and like emotionally he's going through it. So he's like, man, I don't know. I've got two choices. Either I can just become a woman or I'm going to have to go to the black market and find myself some testes.
That's what I mean. And what do you think the shopping carts, right? Do you buy the dick with the balls or are you like scrolling through dick and you're like, oh, I want that dick. And then it's, hey, by the way, add balls for $25 off.
Oh,
and then
you
like
talking about, so he's like Timu dicking it. He's like,
yeah. So like, do you then scroll through the ball section? But what if you only need one ball? Do they have unisac sections? Or what if you're like, yo, I want three ball. What if you're shopping to become a man?
But
right?
I want, because
that's something people do. And you're like, yo, I want my Johnson to be able to sit comfortably on a tripod.
I want the trip.
Do they have tripod options?
A triple ball with my schmeckle.
So if they have uni options, they got to have tri options.
Sure. Fucking quads.
Wait a minute. Could you buy four ball? Could you four ball it?
Could you get a spare set, right?
Why wouldn't you want to four ball it? If you could have four balls, would you have four ball?
Probably.
I don't see why not.
Just to tell people that I've got four balls.
Do you think you're Do you think you're still like out? Do you think you would like? Do you think you'd like fire hose that shit with four ball?
No, you know what I'm thinking? It comes out like the fucking spray bottle. It's just like a mist, like just Spider-Man.
Yeah. And yeah, with four, you got four ball power.
Yeah.
So we're walking around two ball power, but then you got this old new boy or whatever show up with four ball power. Are they now just balling?
And then what do you tell people? Where do you tell people you shopped at for that? You tell them I went to the old, the black market nutsack.
Well, if you show up with four ball, people are going to ask questions for real.
Lots of questions. They're going to go, where'd you get your new balls from?
If you got four ball, though, you better get everything tattooed into a tank. Right? Like your ball, the four ball section is the track. And then the actual scrotum would be like the gun. I've got two really good dick tattoo ideas. And if I never met, ended up with the wife or whatnot, like one of the two would happen, right? Like the first one was Abraham Lincoln. And then I would shave my pubes into a top hat. But the only way that would ever come up would be frat parties. So that was like this 10-year gap that could have been cool. Yo, I got Abraham Lincoln tattooed on my dick. What? No way. Bam. There he is.
I still like the guy who he wanted to make it. He did the elephant trunk one or whatever. And these two balls were fucking peanuts.
Yeah.
the
other one that I had grown accustomed to was that I would get a tattoo of a $100 bill on my dick. And that way, whenever the wife wanted to blow $100, she'd never have to leave the house. Well, it turns out I really like my wife, so never came into fruition.
And I like the people with the rooster tattoo below their what, knee or whatever.
Yeah,
the
king's below
my knee, or cock hangs below my knee.
That was an angelic conversation. The light came down.
I thought it was funny. We broke into that one pretty good. Hopefully the AI pulls the jokes out of that one and doesn't just have it saying that you and I are talking about buying four balls on Temu or Wish.com and wanting to be the four ball or the tripod trifecta boys.
I'm just sitting here thinking life might be much easier with four ball.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Be. I just don't know. I
don't know how easy it would be to get the four ball.
Right.
But I'm rocking two depressing. Myself. I'm doing just fine.
You're like, is there room in there? You're like the old big nuts. I can't fit two.
And would you like there. Just, would you like splice them together? Right. Was that, and then like, it just all works. So there's too many questions.
You're talking about just rocking like a giant fucking Easter egg underneath your old Johnny.
Got a fucking basket.
I don't know, man. That seems like it'd be a little crowded in there.
You would have to create a whole new brand of underwear.
Your package would be fucking massive.
I'm just trying to figure out. Somebody somewhere was like, yo, this is how the human body should look. Where we decided we should be doing it differently blows my mind. But hey, we looked at Roman roads and went, we can do that better. So I completely understand how we are now looking at this situation and going, no, we need better.
Let's play this game. Who are you to tell me that I can only have two balls?
Now that I know I can have four balls, I want four balls.
Yeah. You tell me I can have two dicks and I can have four balls. I want two dicks and four balls.
I don't know about that.
You don't want two dicks?
No, I don't know.
There's a guy out there that's got two dicks. It's a little micro dick, but he's got two dicks. Joey told me this when we had him on.
Yeah. Is that like the people who grow the extra appendage, but like it never really survives, but that did survive?
You got this little guy hanging out over here. I don't know if he can.
When he pees, does it go down both?
I don't know.
Like,
I never got that deep.
Yeah, it's, hey, dude, why do you got this weird back scratcher in your bedroom? I used it. I hold my second dick with that.
So, little hand, yeah, his little weenus hand.
Would you be more upset that you fucked with it or that it was there to be fucked with? Because me, as the guy with the second dick, I'm wondering why you're in my bathroom fucking with shit. That's more a you thing.
Yeah, I'm more mad at you for being around my stuff.
As the person who just scratched your back with my second dick holder, are you upset, or this is just something where I've now learned a life lesson?
I think you're grossed out by it, and you learned a life lesson.
I don't think I'm ever coming back to Two Dick House.
Probably not Two Dick House.
Not one fucking time.
No. Yeah, no. If that was your Tinder date, you're definitely not coming back to Two Dick House. You've left the party at this point. You're no longer coming back. Adios. Peace.
Yeah, if that's the road you go down, I wouldn't be there for a Tinder date. I'm just thinking.
Yeah, but if you don't know about Two Dick Man and you show up for that Tinder date, then you're like, oh, shit, man. I don't know about this. But I just found out you're Two Dick Man with the old freaking weenus holder. Yeah, I'm not. I don't think I'm coming back on that one. I'm a woman.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there we are.
You probably show up to see it, maybe even. Some people are probably curious enough to see. I got to see this monster. And then you do show up, and then you find the back scratcher. And I think that's when you're like, fuck this. It's too much for me. I'm out. Yeah, I didn't come here to join the circus, motherfucker.
I was thinking, like, playing golf with this dude a few times. We end up heading over for a backyard barbecue. I bring the wife to meet his wife. Yeah.
Like you're talking about this.
Yeah, now I'm like, oh, man, I've been at a barbecue, and I've been drinking. I got to take a piss, so I go to this person's bathroom, and I'm like, oh, check out this convenient back scratcher.
Oh, no, but, I was talking about some.
Yeah, so then I want checking this guy out, like, yeah, on Tinder. And then you're like, yeah, Tinder. You wouldn't be back there. And I'm like, what? No, dude. Well, I wouldn't be in the Tinder date on some dude's house.
Yeah, I see it personally. I'm just saying, if I was a woman, I didn't get put in this situation to begin with.
If you're listening and not watching in that moment, I'm like, wait, what?
Two conversations going on in the same room.
I've come back to the barbecue, right? And I'm like, dude, that was a sweet fucking back scratcher. And the guy goes, yeah, no, that's my second dick holder. What? That experience, right? Like, I ain't coming back to your fucking barbecues ever again.
Not only that, what if he comes out there and he shoves a radio burger and tries serving you with that? Oh, like, man. Here you go.
It's my strong hand. Yeah, no. Yeah,
it's definitely the strong hand.
Once you told me it was your second dick holder, I was already gone. I stopped eating. Yeah. Like, oh, shit. The ring's going off. The dogs are going crazy. I didn't see nothing. Yeah, you're not me. And I fucking put the phone away and then I walk out. I don't know why I showed you the phone. It's got to unlock, but
I need to get out of this situation.
Right. Yeah. The whole ride home is just quiet. The wife's waiting for me to say something. And I'm just
what happened?
Turns out I'm not golfing at that golf course anymore either. Yeah. It's just best not to put the makeshift back scratcher where other people can utilize it for a scratchy back.
Right, these conversations that come up, not quite my cup of tea.
I will use a back scratcher if I'm in an area. I don't know, is that gross? I don't know. I've never thought about it. We'll ask the listeners. Here we go. If you are at somebody's house and there's a back scratcher, would you or would you not use it? I would use the shit out of it. Back scratcher. How would you not use it? Turns out this back scratcher used to hold a second dick. Whoa.
Didn't know.
Yeah, you don't run into that very often.
Immediately.
For all of our listeners out there, we're giving away a hobby horse t-shirt. Not a back scratch dick holder, but a hobby horse t-shirt. And for you to win this, all you have to do is subscribe and comment, I want the shirt. If you are already a subscriber and you've already liked, but continue to share, even if you don't, we still care about you. So go ahead and comment, I want the t-shirt. Get yourself in there. It's been fantastic. We didn't touch much on the NBA. We will coming up soon. I do believe we also have a lot to chit-chat about in regards to the Caitlin Clark money situation. It's like these people didn't realize the WNBA was terrible in money.
Bring that like, up tonight. You guys can check that on Thursday.
Shout out to Nike for coming in with the multi-million-dollar shoe deal. So endorsements off the court. But like, just because Caitlin Clark got drafted, it doesn't mean the WNBA magically has more money to give these people. Right?
Here's the thing, though. Nike fixed that one, but they didn't fix the Major League Baseball jerseys that they paid Fanatics for, which kind of bothers me that they just assume that, yeah, we give you guys money, but they okayed the crappy jerseys.
I bought my first Nike anything for the first time in almost a decade.
Long time?
Yeah, almost a decade. And the only reason I did Nike it is because it's a Brewers baseball fucking weather thing.
Oh, that's you'll pull
perfect
over, huh?
For golfing, dude. Perfect. Nice. Yeah, I'm sure Under Armour has one. It just wasn't Brewers. So once I find it. I'm not going to burn it. I've already paid for it. I got rid of the other stuff. But you know what I'm saying. But yes, we'll talk about that and much, much more coming up. You won't know about this on this episode, but if you were listening, yeah, the boys, they will be deep in the woods. Patrick, do you have anything else you wanted to throw out there?
No. Don't go to wish.com and search balls, though. It's not a good thing. You won't find dicks. You won't find balls. You won't find the trifecta tripod that Charles was talking about earlier. But you might find yourself some sports card holders on Timu or on wish.com. And maybe head on over to SoRare.com and go play some games.
Sounds perfect to me. For everybody else out there, we greatly appreciate you. The world is a much better place with you in it. Smile more.